Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Majjhalila, text 168, talks between the Lord and Ramana and Roy. Lavanyamrita Daraya Taruparisnan. Nija Laja Shama Patasati Paridan. Lavanyamrita Daraya Taruparisnam. Nija Lata Shama Patasati Paridan. Lavanyamrita Daraya Taruparisnam. Nija Lata Shama Patasati Paridan. Nija Lata Shama Patasati Paridan. Lavanyamrita Dari Parisnam. Nija Laja Shama Pata Sati Paritam. Lavanyamrita Dari Parisnam. Any ladies? Lavanyamrita Daraya Taru Parisnam. Lavanyamrita Daraya Taru Parisnam. So the word for word, Lavanya Amrita Daya. In the shower of the nectar of bodily luster.
In the shower of the nectar of bodily luster.
Tadupari. Over and above that.
Over and above that.
Snam.
The bath.
Nija.
Om.
Laja.
Shyness.
Sham.
Blackish.
Pata.
Silk.
Sati.
Garments.
Paridana.
Wearing.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, and she puts on the garment of shyness, which is exactly like a black silk sari. Over and above the other baths, the bath taken in the afternoon is taken in the nectar of full beauty. This nectar represents the personal qualities of beauty and luster. Thus, there are three baths in different kinds of water. Radharani then puts on two dresses, a lower and an upper dress. The upper dress is her attachment for Krishna, and the lower dress is her shyness. That lower portion is compared to a blackish silk garment or a bluish sari, and her upper garment is pinkish. That pink garment is her affection and attraction for Krishna. So just a little bit of a recap, since we only read one verse a week from Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in this chapter, Lord Chaitanya travels to a place, Vidyanagar, on the banks of the Godavari River in the hopes of meeting Ramana and Roy. And Ramana Roy does come, and it explains when Lord Chaitanya sees Ramana Roy that his mind is running towards him. But he restrains himself, he sits patiently. And when Ramana Roy sees this sannyasi who's more effulgent than a million suns, he goes up to him hesitatingly, But Lord Chaitanya takes Ramananda, he embraces him. He embraces him, and they both fall to the ground. And it explains that the master and the servant are like one. And they're both exhibiting all kinds of ecstatic symptoms, trembling and perspiration. And from their mouth is coming the words, Krishna, but in a very faltering manner. So it's an incredible display. And the ritualistic brahmanas are there. They're looking on the whole scene very critically because, you know, Ramananda Roy is considered a sudra. Of course, that's one of the things Lord Chaitanya came to show is that, you know, Brahman is by qualification, not by any birthright. So he met with Ramananda Roy, and then later on is when they began to when he asked Ramananda Roy to please speak. And actually, Lord Chaitanya described Ramananda Roy as a cloud of devotional service who was empowered to distribute the water all over the sea. And Ramananda Roy, after Lord Chaitanya asked him to speak, he spoke on detachment, he spoke on knowledge, mixed with devotional service, on spontaneous loving service, and he went on to explain unalloyed, pure devotional service, love of Godhead, serving the Lord with pure servitude, serving in fraternity, serving in parental affection, and of course serving in conjugal love, and how it could be developed in all different ways. And he explained the gopis' love for Krishna and the very highest perfection of love that Radharani displays. And he spoke of Krishna. Krishna's body is made of Satchidananda, three potencies. First potency is Ladini, or the potency or aspect of pleasure or bliss. And the second potency is Sandini, the potency of eternal existence. And the third, Samvit, of knowledge or cognizance. And it's the potency called Ladini that gives Krishna so much pleasure. And through this pleasure potency, Krishna tastes all spiritual pleasure. The essential part of the pleasure potency is love of Godhead called Mahabhava or ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. And her only desire is to please Krishna and to serve Krishna. Everything she does, that's what it's for. So, you know, she's given full facility because of that. Her mind is always Vrindavan, and her desire is always to serve Krishna. So the verse today and the preceding verses have to do with the consciousness of Radharani, which is compared to bathing. And the first shower that Radharani takes is the shower of compassion. And there's one story that describes, there's so many stories that describe Radharani's compassion, but one of them is the story of Radharani and Lalita. They are walking through Braj, and they hear, well, it starts with, there's some Brajabasi boys. And they're, you know, they're playing with the monkeys, they're teasing the monkeys, and then they see a jackal, so they start teasing the jackal, and they pick up stones, they start throwing at the jackal, you know, having a great time, and the jackal starts howling and running, and he jumps into a hole, and then the boys, you know, go to the hole, and, you know, like boys sometimes do, they start a fire all around the hole. So actually the jackal, he's trapped inside the hole, you know, he can't get out, so he's howling and crying. And Srimati Radharani, walking with Lalita, she's disturbed. She's like, what? What's going on? You know, in Braj, no one's supposed to suffer. Everyone's supposed to be happy in service. Lalita, can you go find out, you know, what's happening here? So Lalita, she goes over, she sees what's going on. She sends the boys home. She puts out the fire, and she takes out the jackal, who's very bedraggled at that point. And she brings the jackal to Srimati Radharani. And Radharani, you know, the jackal bows at her feet. So she touches the jackal, she blesses the jackal, and it's said that she awards that jackal, because he was so surrendered, an eternal body as a gopi in the spiritual world. So just another point at how merciful Srimati Radharani is and how indebted she is to any kind of service. This little story serves as a parable also. It said the jackal is described as the living entity that's trapped in this material world, and the whole material existence and the fire surrounding the whole samsara davana lalita loka, you know, that we're burning in this fire of material existence. And the jackal, the howling of the jackal is compared to the living entity chanting purely for help. You know, this jackal is really chanting purely for help. And Lalita as a spiritual master who comes and rescues that, you know, that devotee and brings him to Radharani, brings him to Krishna where he's liberated. So that's one story of Radharani's compassion. There's another beautiful story of Radharani's compassion of Shyamananda, when she blesses Shyamananda. And the story begins that his original name is Duki, and explains that he is born as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he, as he grows up, he wants to serve more intensely, more sincerely. So he goes to Vrindavan where he can study under Srila Jiva Goswami. And he's learning so much under Srila Jiva Goswami. And he says to Srila Jiva Goswami, I want to do some more, you know, important service. I want to do something especially for Radharani. So Srila Jiva Goswami tells him, well, you go to the Kunj, you go to Radharani's Kunj, and you just stay there and you just sweep that Kunj every day. So that's what he does. He goes to the Kunj, and every day he's chanting, he's dancing, he's sweeping the Kunj in complete ecstasy. And one day when he's sweeping, one evening, he finds a golden ankle bracelet, and he picks it up, you know, has the little bells on it. And he, as soon as he touches it, he's like overcome with complete ecstasy. And in meantime, elsewhere, Radharani realizes that she lost her bracelet somewhere, so she sends Lalita to go to find the bracelet. So Lalita travels over. She sees Duki, who was initiated as Krishna Das. He was initiated by Hridaya Chaitanya. So she goes to him and says, you know, my Saki, she lost her ankle bracelet, and we wonder if you found it. He goes, well, yes, actually, here it is. I found it, you know. And so I want you to give it to me so I can return it to her. And he said, you know, this is a very valuable bracelet, and I can't just give it to anybody. You know, she has to come here. And Lalita's like, well, she can't come here. She's from a very glorious family. And, you know, the sun isn't even up yet. So, you know, she's unable to come. And Krishnadas is like, well, you know, I have to have her come. I just can't give this to anybody. And then I can see if it fits her, and I'll give it to her. So Lalita's thinking, there's something special going on here. So she returns, and she meets, you know, she sees Radha, she tells Srimati Radharani what's going on. Srimati Radharani returns, and Krishnadas shows her the bracelet, and Radharani extends her hand and asks for the bracelet. And then Krishnadas says, well, you look like you're from a very great family. You look like you're from an incredibly glorious family, but why were you here at night? You know, why do you come here in the middle of the night? And Radharani's like, what? She goes, I come here every night to perform my pastimes. You know, this is my kunj. So then Krishnadas becomes completely ecstatic. He goes, you're Nikunjeshwari, you know? And so then Krishnadas bows at her feet, and she takes her ankle bracelet, she touches to the dust of Raj, and she touches to Krishnadas' head, and he becomes completely ecstatic. And she says to him, I am so grateful for this service you've been doing to my kund that I'm going to bless you. She says, my name is Shyam, and you've given me so much bliss by serving me in this way, so much ananda, that your name is Shyamananda. So that's another example of the beautiful and glorious blessings that Radharani can give. And we are so fortunate to have Radha Shyam here, because they're We get their blessings every single day. And she's so merciful all the time. Prabhupada says that, you know, Radharani, she's Hari Priya. She's very, very dear to the Lord. And she's more merciful than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, like in Vrindavan, more than chanting Hare Krishna, at least initially, the devotees are chanting Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. So we're fortunate to have such daily association. And then there's the next bath that Radharani takes is a shower in the nectar of youth. And that shower gives Radharani unimpeded beauty, unimpeded energy to serve to the fullest extent. So she has the capacity to express her desires fully. In the Ujjwala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami describes Radha's body as an evolution of spiritual pleasure. I really like that. An evolution of spiritual pleasure, that her body is decorated with flowers, fragrant aromas, and is complete with transcendental love for Krishna. Her beauty consists of the highest artistry. She's decorated with ornaments of spiritual ecstasy, of trembling, tears, petrification, perspiration, choking, cessation of all bodily functions due to transcendental pleasure, stumbling, high blood pressure, and madness. Those are all symptoms of Radharani's beauty and her ecstasy. There was one story when Radharani blesses Raghunath Das. You know, Raghunath Das had been reading descriptions of Radharani, and one of the descriptions of Radharani describes her hair is like the hood of a poisonous serpent. And when Raghunath reads this, he becomes a little disturbed. He doesn't like that idea, that Radharani's hair described like the hood of a poisonous serpent. So he's just having a bit of a problem with that. So one day he's walking along in Vrindavan toward the evening, and he sees a girl sitting on a swing, and he sees the gopis, they're swinging this girl. Very beautiful scene. And he's looking at her dark ebony hair, you know, very beautiful. And then he looks, and he's like, oh my God, it's a snake. That's a poisonous snake crawling up this girl's back, and she's clueless. She has no idea that that's what it is. So he screams, look out, you know, there's a poisonous snake crawling up your back. And as soon as he gets there, the girls, you know, they just start laughing and giggling, and, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody disappears. So Raghunath realizes, wow, that was Srimati Radharani and the gopis, and he became a believer that actually the hair did look like the hood of a poisonous snake. And after, then Radharani takes another bath. This bath is in nectar of bodily luster. And there's a nice story that illustrates this. Radharani and the gopis, they sometimes become very envious of Radha's, Radha becomes envious of Krishna's flute. They're like, you know, Krishna's always playing his flute, and he's always getting the nectar of Krishna's lips, and it's not fair that there's such a monopoly in this way. You know, we should be able to get some of it too. So Radharani has a plan that she's going to go and at night, and she's going to steal this flute, and that way, you know, she'll get more of the nectar from Krishna's lips instead of the flute. So she goes off, she's got a plan, she knows that Krishna always keeps the belt tucked into his dhoti, and she's just going to sneak in and she's going to steal it. But there's only one problem. And that problem is that Radharani's effulgence is so brilliant that she can't hide herself. And everyone can see her, everyone can see what she's doing. So she pretty much just has to, like, give up that idea, give up that plan. It's just not going to work. So that's an example of the beautiful bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. And there's another shower that Radharani, or actually, this is another shower. She puts on the garment of shyness, which is her black silk sari. And there's a story of Radharani's shyness and how Krishna protects her chastity. In this story, Radharani is really lamenting. Because She's getting a bad reputation. Everyone's talking about her in the village, you know, this girl, and Radharani's always seeking her, and, you know, she's already married, and what's going on? And so she's, you know, she's a very chaste girl, Radharani, and she's feeling a lot of uncomfortableness, you know, over this whole thing. So she goes to Krishna, and she said, you know, Krishna, it's really not fair. It's like everybody loves you, you know, everybody serves you, but when I love you and I serve you, I get a bad reputation for it, and I just can't take it anymore. You know, I just want to give up this body. I can't take this situation anymore of always being criticized. So Krishna says, "Don't worry about a thing, Radha. I've got a plan, and my plan is so perfect that when this plan is executed, not only are you going to be touted as the most chaste woman in Vrindavan, the people who criticize you, well, will lose some of their reputation for chastity." So Radharani is, you know, willing to give it a try. And the way the plan goes is that Krishna develops an incredible fever. And Mother Yashoda is beside herself. You know, it's such a high fever. And she calls the doctor. The doctor just doesn't know what to do. You know, he tries everything, it doesn't work. She calls another doctor, same thing. He can't cure it. So Mother Yashoda, you know, she hears of a doctor that's just come to Vrindavan. This doctor is very effulgent, round face, lotus eyes. You know, you get the picture. And he claims that he can cure anything. So Mother Yashoda quickly brings the doctor to the side of Krishna. And the doctor examines Krishna and says, "This is very serious, but there is something that can be done. But I'm going to need something special for me to be able to execute this plan." So Mother said, "What is it? What is it? Whatever it is." And the doctor explains that he needs the chastest lady in Vrindavan. And, well, how are we going to determine that? So the doctor says, "This is what you have to do. We'll have to take we'll make a bridge of the patient's hair." And so they lop off a bunch of hair from the patient, and they make a bridge from that hair. And he says, then what happens is we'll have to call all the ladies from Vrindavan, and they're going to need to carry a pot with 1,000 holes over this bridge. And in the middle of Jamuna, they'll pick up some water, and they'll bring it back. And once I get this water, this special water, then I'll be able to make the medicine, and I'll be able to totally serve Krishna. So they call the ladies from Vrindavan, and one after another, they're having, you know, a difficult time passing this test. First of all, the bridge of hair is very delicate. So first of all, it's Katila. Jatila's sure that her daughter, Katila, she'll be able to pass the test. So Jatila's all ready. You know, she knows she has a good reputation in this regard. She steps onto the bridge of hair, and she falls into the river at the laughing of many, you know, different devotees in the area. And so then Katila thinks, okay, my mom will be able to. So Jatila goes, and, you know, she tries the same thing. She steps proudly under the bridge, and splash, you know, she falls into the water. So, and Mother Yashoda, she thinks it's not going to happen. Just see, you know, we're never going to find this person. She's crying, she's despairing. And so the doctor, she goes, how are we going to find the most chaste lady? We've already been through so many, and what are we going to do? So the doctor says, wait a second. And he starts drawing in the sand, different lines, making different calculations. He's like, let me see here. Well, it appears, is there a woman named Radha in this area? I'm like, yes. Well, bring that woman. Let's see if this may be the woman we're looking for. So Radharani comes, very eager to do anything to save her dear Krishna. And she approaches the Jamuna very humbly. She's saying prayers to Krishna as she approaches. And she steps very delicately onto the bridge, and it supports her. And she walks step by step across the bridge. And when she reaches the middle of the bridge, and she starts to bend down. She sees Krishna's face reflected in the river. So that's a very encouraging sign. She starts to lose some of her fear. She bends down and she fills the pot with water. And she sees Krishna's hands expanded with 1,000 fingers, and they plug up all the holes in the pot. So at that point, she's able to bring the pot. She walks carefully across the hair bridge. She delivers the water, and the doctor mixes the water with some paste and gives it to Krishna. And voila, miraculously, Krishna is revived. And Mother Yashoda is so happy that she wants to have a celebration. And she has lots of butter, she has lots of milk. So she takes that butter and she takes that milk, and she first offers it to Radha. Radha says no. And then she offers the milk and the butter to Krishna. Krishna accepts it. And then Mother Yashoda takes the remnants of Krishna and she offers that to Radha. And then, of course, Radha is very happy to take Krishna's remnants. And the story has a very happy ending with Krishna surviving and Radha's reputation being completely saved. In fact, all the villagers are talking, how is it this is the chastest woman in Vrindavan? But they're convinced this experiment that proved to be true, that was performed, saved Radharani's reputation as the most chaste woman in Vrindavan. So, Krishna, you know, Krishna's the knower of everything. He's described as Vedaham Samatitani Vartamani Charjana Bhavishami Chabutani Mam Tu Vedana Kaschana. Krishna says, as a supreme personality of Godhead, I know everything that's happened in the past, everything that's happened in the present, and everything that's going to happen in the future, but me, no one knows. But actually, Krishna doesn't know everything because he doesn't know Radharani. You know, he's bewildered by Radharani. And he wants to understand Radharani, which is the whole reason for the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya comes to understand Radha. He comes as Lord Chaitanya. You know, Radha and Krishna combined in order to understand these special pastimes of Radharani. And again, Prabhupada describes it, if you take to a special speculative process to understand Krishna, it'll take you forever. But if you just engage in Radha's service, then you'll be able to understand it in this lifetime. Prabhupada emphasizes that the teaching of Lord Chaitanya is to feel separation, not meeting. That the process of devotional service taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his disciplic succession is how to feel separation from Krishna. He says the more that we feel separation, the more that we can understand that we're advancing. He says, be advanced in feeling separation. Engage yourselves in the service of the Lord. He says, you know, we can't see Krishna with our material eyes, and we can't hear Krishna with our material ears. The only way that we can understand Krishna is through the tongue. That we can understand Krishna through chanting Hare Krishna, that Krishna is present on the tongue, and we can understand Krishna by taking Krishna prasadam. Those are the ways that we can. He says, so feel separation from Krishna, just as Radha does, as Lord Chaitanya teaches us, and engage your tongue in the service of Radharani. One day when you're mature, that you'll see Krishna face to face. So that's Srila Prabhupada's promise to us, you know. And of course, we, you know, we're constantly feeling separation from Krishna, you know, because we feel such misery. The only time that we're really feeling the ecstasy is when we're engaging in pure devotional service. And we go out on Sankirtan, for example, like last week, in St. Augustine and Harinam, it was so ecstatic. Even though the devotees were so concerned that it's so early, there might not be so many people there. How come St. Augustine, they changed all the rules? What's going on here? Why did they do this? They're persecuting us. It's not fair. Of course, they, you know, they did. It was a rule they made for all the groups that come. But actually, there was something about the morning hours, the mode of goodness, that made it more ecstatic than ever before. And to have 100, you know, over 100 devotees, you know, chanting and dancing up and down St. George Street was like phenomenal. No one ever seen anything like that before. The non-devotees were like pressed up against the walls because there's so many of us, but they didn't seem to mind. They were like, whatever you guys have, we want some of it. They had their hands out for prasadam, their hands out for books. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough books, but hopefully we'll learn that for next time. But it was so much fun. They were dancing with us and jumping with us and chanting with us. So the best way to feel that connection, you know, to reduce that separation is to engage in Harinam Sankirtan. There is nothing that's better than that. So there's so much opportunity for us to be able to do that in this community with so many Rathyatras. Unfortunately, the Rathyatra today was limited because they had a rule that only 30 people could go, but there'll be many more opportunities. So one of the best ways to serve Radha, one of the best ways to serve Krishna. And I was just going to briefly touch on, you know, we all are familiar with the qualities of Radharani, the 25 qualities of Radharani. And one of the qualities that I wanted to touch on just a bit is a quality of Radharani giving shelter to the devotees. And this is, I touched on this one because of the devotees that are here for the seminar, the Child Protection Seminar, and how important it is to make sure that our children are protected and they're safe and that everybody's safe. Of course, there's an aspect of shelter that means, you know, protecting from any kind of bodily harm, which is initially the Child Protection Office came into being for that reason, so that our children would be protected against abuse. And so that, you know, that was a bit of a reactionary measure, but it came into being because of that and has grown and, you know, is giving seminars and making sure that all schools have access to education so that our children are safe. But, you know, just meditating on this idea of giving shelter, I was thinking how really that shelter means so much more. And that really, if we want to give real shelter to our children, there's so much more that needs to be done. And the more I thought about it, the more that I felt, wow, it's like there's so many temples all over the world, you know, and there's so many millions of dollars being spent for temples. But how many Gurukulas do we have on our earth? You know, how much energy is being put into our children's shelter in terms of education? After all, Srila Prabhupada called non-devotional schools slaughterhouses. You know, and of course, you know, many times we have no choice, but this should be something that's foremost in our minds, and it should be as important at this point in time as building temples. We have a beautiful school here that, you know, I'm working at now. We have 60 students, and there's so much facility for it to grow. You know, in the past, Gurukulas traditionally went up to about fifth grade, and then it, you know, as students get older, it gets more difficult to give them education. But now it's in place. Jai Shri Radhe of Jai Shri Radhe and Manu, the bus tour, has taken the role of principal in the middle school. She's teaching seventh grade. Next year, she'll go up to eighth grade. The next year, ninth grade. The next year, 10th grade. So it's growing, but the only thing that's really holding us back is facility. And I'm just putting the word out there that I feel like if we're really going to give our children protection, this should go right along with, if not in front of, any other kind of protection. Because when children are brought up with spiritual teachings and they're brought up with, you know, association of devotees, the preaching, the purity will grow exponentially. So this is one aspect of protection that I feel like we've neglected in a big way in our movement, and hopefully that will be rectified over time. So I think my time is up. Thank you so much for listening. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Any corrections? Come in, Mohini.
Hello.
Thank you.
Since you are talking about the children and engagement, the other Ekadashi, when it was Ekadashi day, I brought my daughter and her friend that had sleepover. And I was a little worried, it's early in the morning, but they actually woke me up before the alarm clock and they were ready. Can we go to the temple? And Radhe got to do Tulsi Puja, and then they got to do some service to put pajamas and outfit that was left from day before. So when we were leaving at 8:30 or something, they both said, it's so much fun. We had so much fun. We want to do this again. Aww. So if we really give them more opportunities to do some service, I think that besides the academics, that mm-hmm. I agree definitely, but also because we have facilities at the temple.
Excellent idea. Yeah, these are two girls that go to the Gurukula, so they grow up, you know, just loving devotional service. Anyone else like to? Right, moving on, Prabhu.
In that same line of thought, I've also thought of the continuing shelter or protection of the devotees by having an engagement in ISKCON when they get out of the school, because just like it was a slaughterhouse going to the public schools, so then what about the engagement? So then, of course, Prabhupada mentioned Varnashram, and he mentioned, so I would just like to continue the same thought of how to think about protecting. They used to say cradle to the grave, I guess so it would be samskar to samadhi, you know, that you could have the thoughtful process of engagement from the time that of conception. The school is nice, it gives them that engagement, they're fully, everybody's thinking about how to protect them. But then, as you said, now to the 10th grade, after that, okay, now that we've invested so many years and years in training, why not have the continuation of that thought as an engagement to from the whole in their whole life?
And of course, that was Prabhupada's plan with Varnashram. If we had followed through with the farms, there would, you know, there'd be so much more facilities. So but we're a little behind.
There's thinking that's required.
There's thinking. Thinking, feeling.
And, well, the feeling actually comes first.
In feeling, thinking.
Well, if you have the right intention in your mind, then you're given the correct intelligence on how to carry it out. So the desire is there first. We have good thinkers, but you have to have the intention to engage every protected devotees, bhakti vatsala. Very important. Thank you.
Whoever.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question that might be a little hard for me to formulate, but that we don't approach Krishna directly. We have the disciplic succession. The line of spiritual masters, our present spiritual master, we serve the servant of the servant. So how does, because we hear of approaching Srimati Radharani to approach Krishna, how does Srimati Radharani relate to the disciplic succession? Or is the spiritual master the representative of Srimati Radharani?
That's a good question. I'm not totally sure that I know the answer to that question. I know that Radharani is exceptionally merciful. It's just as exemplified by the story of the jackal, you know. So maybe it is possible to approach her separately. Anybody else want to comment on that? Okay. All right.
Well, I was just going to add that I believe it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada does say that the spiritual master is always either a representative of Srimati Radharani or Nityananda Prabhu.
Mm.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class.
Thank you.
I was thinking when you were talking about the Harinam, how there were so many devotees. You said 100. I heard 200. I don't know.
Well, I think there was $200 at the whole 200 at the whole festival, and it was, well, I don't know how many, so well over 100, right?
A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking most of those devotees live right here, or at least in this area, and how nice it would be if even once a month we did something like that. I mean, there's always Harinam regularly,
true,
but there's not a lot of devotees that go.
Yeah.
And what an impression it would make, that could be happening regularly. And I had an experience the other day where just by wearing tilak, I wasn't even wearing devotional clothing. And I realized that how, you know, if everyone just wore tilak, that sparks an interest and it makes people inquire. They were coming to me asking me, well, what is that on your forehead, you know? And my spiritual master used to call Alatra the sleeping giant, because, you know, there's so much potency here, so many devotees, and so much possibility. And, you know, if it became a priority for all of us, then we could really flood this whole area, literally, and just make so many more people Krishna conscious.
Thank you. It's so true that, you know, the reason for the Vaikuntha clothing is that when people see us, they become purified, you know, and Prabhupada taught us saris, dhotis, to go out as much as we can. And Harinam is, it's like pure devotional service in the sense that one of the aspects of pure devotional service is an immediate relief to material distress. So you can have so many things on your mind, but as soon as you go in Harinam, you start chanting, it's like you're in ecstasy. It's such a great medicine to take. So yes, Ekadashi, it's so true that we can just invite more people to come out. We're standing on the corner of 13th and University, and it's mostly cars going by, but people, sometimes we have people stop their car, get out, dance while the light is red, jump back in when it's green and take off, you know. And there's students, there's always people coming by. It is very, very ecstatic. So any opportunity we have to engage in Harinam is worthwhile. And so we just pray to Radha that we can all become more dedicated to her lotus feet and dedicated to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhana Sute Devi Pranami Hari Priye. Thank you.